band is from 88 megahertz up to 108.
You've got this frequency. We're going to call you CKUT. You've got this frequency, 98.3. That frequency is what you're picking up when you tune that radio.
Very impressive.
You can sit on the road and go back and pick up CKUT, clear as a bell.
Fascinating. Your analysis seems logical.
CKUT is on the air.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Hello, this is a show from Radia. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond.
Delta 2 Yankee, Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Are you up for it?
During the long months of the lockdown in Italy, Radio Papesse joined forces with the amazing artists and producers at Usma Radio to become an amplifier for the Crown Project, fighting the lockdown through radio. So, what happened exactly? For 30 days, every day, artists from all over the world came together for a live improvised session of radio music, words, and sound experiments, together with Roberto Pacidalo, to play together from different locations, yet united through radio, to listen together from different locations, thanks to the medium of radio. So, what you're going to listen are bits and pieces of some of the Crown sessions, sewn together by fragments of a longer conversation with Roberto Pacidalo. Enjoy.
Every day at 5 p.m., a tea time live concert on Usma Radio and Radio Papesse. Musicians, artists, writers, actors, poets, singers, radio lovers performing from their very homes. Roberto Pacidalo plays an improvised session together with a guest, and we welcome today Johan Merich, L'Impero della Luce. And now, Crown. Well, actually, as soon as we heard about the lockdown in Italy, I mean, a few minutes after the news, we decided to do something different. And that different is this series, this cycle of performances, radio performances, where every day we perform in connection with an artist at his or her place, at home, so to speak. Well, actually, from the very beginning, we were not really in favor of video information, video signal or video live something. From the very beginning, from the day one, we simply said, this is a radio and it works on sound. An image is just accessory, you know, is something which we might use, but we don't. And then in this very time, you know, right now, there's an explosion of live performances through the socials and the platforms.
That's exactly our perspective as well. The idea of going through and using sound and getting into the act of listening as well as the act of transmitting and finding the scratches and the breaks into also in the act of listening and transmitting.
Thank you.
we were really working on two different levels. One is the tradition of network performances. You know, what we know from the beginning of the 90s, what we did before the internet, and then when the internet came, and then the combination between internet, the radio, and all the rest. But the challenge somehow was to do it daily, because it's not that difficult to do one short event, you know, like 1 day or 2 days extreme, but then 30 days, you know, with one after the other, those performances was really challenging. And this was also related to the second aspect, which for us is the school of radio, because we all had to learn things every single day, and every single day was a different context, this different situation, not only because it was a different person, but you know, technologies are different. Crowd was radio, was really radio also in the old school sense, so to speak. Of course, using these technologies. But we tried to do, to have this expanded radio studio. Actually, we wanted to have this variety, so that's why the artists, they're so different. Also, from a generation, you know, generation point of view, you know, we go from very young people to senior citizens, so to speak. And actually, what is interesting is that we were really working on two different levels. One is the tradition of network performances, you know, what we know from the beginning of the 90s, what we did before the internet, and then when the internet came, and then the combination between internet, the radio, and all the rest. But the challenge somehow was to do it daily, because it's not that difficult to do one short event, you know, like 1 day or 2 days extreme, but then 30 days, you know, with one after the other, those performances was really challenging. And this was also related to the second aspect, which for us is the school of radio, because it was a fantastic school for all of us, because we all had to learn things every single day, and every single day was a different context, this different situation, not only because it was a different person, but, you know, technologies are different.
Per descrivere questa singolare poesia sarà opportuno partire dalla sua energia, e cioè dal suo voltaggio, dai suoi ohm e dai suoi ampere, poiché si tratta di una poesia elettrica e la sua forma dipende dalla sua impedenza, il suo contenuto dalla sua induttanza. Per leggere correttamente questa poesia elettrica sarà però necessario eseguire prima una serie di operazioni e procurarsi dei materiali che non sono compresi in questo libro. I materiali che occorrono sono una comune pila da 4,5 volt, due pezzi di cavo elettrico in rame, una matita di grafite ben temperata, del nastro isolante. Le operazioni che occorre eseguire sono: disegnare e colorare con la matita due stelle a 5 punte, una prima della prima lettera della poesia e una dopo l'ultima. Collegare alle stelle e tra loro tutte le vocali del testo, unendole con un segno ben tracciato e fatto spesso con la matita, realizzando così un circuito elettrico completo. Collegare i due pezzi di cavo elettrico in rame ai due poli della batteria e successivamente alle due stelle, usando del nastro isolante. La poesia allora si illuminerà, poiché si illumineranno tutte le sue vocali a causa della differenza di potenziale tra il polo positivo e quello negativo della batteria e alla resistenza elettrica del tungsteno contenuto nell'inchiostro adoperato per tracciarle. La A non sarà nera, ma gialla. La E non sarà bianca, ma viola. La I sarà rossa. La U sarà verde. La O sarà blu.
What do you think is the biggest takeaway from this daily show?
Okay, this kind of project is about roughly 10 hours day work in order to do our half an hour performance. This is 10 hours because you have to imagine every single aspect, all the testing. Every day we do all the technical tests for the following, for the upcoming day, you know. So it's really huge. What I think we learned so much, and now we want to go on a different schedule, of course, but now we're ready.
dejó su mensaje de paz y felicidad. Que el futuro nos depare la
voluntad.
And we will also wonder about the sound quality of the pieces, also from a technical point of view. I mean, some of them are extremely good, and that's why I'm very happy about that. And this is, of course, just the beginning.
Thank you.
good quality is possible. In order to do it, one also has to become an educator in terms of creating a connection and making other people, giving other people the tools to make radio. Because what happened now is that you gave all the single artists that took part in it the tools to make radio.
Yeah, and consider that, you know, several of the artists, because this was not this Facebook, you know, live or whatever. Several of the artists, they got very excited, and now they proposing things like, let's do it on, you know, extend the time, maybe 3 hours performance, because they were really captured by that, and that's why I'm very happy also.
Thank you.
This was Crown.
Can you introduce yourself and the other mind behind Crown?
Well, you know, the project has been conceived by me, Roberto Pacidalò, together with Alessandro Renzi, which is USMA Radio Station Manager, and of course in collaboration with Radio Papese.
Last winter, France experienced the longest strike in its modern history. Launched in opposition to a pension reform project, the strikers' demands very quickly joined the sectors already struggling in a deleterious socio-economic context. Health, justice, university, transport, energy, arts, education and media converged in the street with the Gilets Jaunes, aka yellow vest, that had been demonstrating and occupying roundabouts for more than a year. Many alliances are formed. Lawyers take up the song of the yellow vest. Strikers from Radio France investigate a strike by cleaning women. Queer collectives defend the striking bus driver fired for homophobic insult. Even artists join the leading procession that precedes the unions in the streets and form the majority of the demonstrations. This social movement is a multitude that agrees on one thing: to get over with Macron and his world. Only the containment due to the coronavirus will put an end to this political sequence, and the reform will finally be suspended. This episode of Radia is a subjective attempt to put this moment in sound. I have mixed recordings made during demonstrations, sound creation, and political reflections, all assembled to illustrate the bubbling political atmosphere and sonic environment of this period. Good listening.
What it means when bodies come together.
Judith Butler.
To protest or to assert certain kinds of demands or to object to certain social conditions. And in the last years, I've been particularly interested in demonstrations against precarity, or sometimes in the European context, demonstrations against austerity. They're obviously referencing fiscal policies that produce rather stark economic consequences for a vast number of people. In general, the right of public assembly, which has been with us for some time, and I think was originally posited as a right on the part of laborers to assemble and decide whether or not they wanted to be part of a union or to assemble to decide and negotiate their wages. That right of assembly has often been understood as an abstract right without thinking about the fact that it requires bodies to come together, and it's a right that is a right about that presupposes mobility. The freedom to gather and the freedom to speak. Rights of assembly struck me as different from rights of association or indeed rights of free expression. They fundamentally involve the body in a collective embodied set of acts.
Assez cette société qui n'offre que le chômage et la précarité en masse.
Foucault is perfectly right, but I think I'm probably meaning something very different from the concept of sovereignty that he had in mind. I mean, the sovereignty of the king is, of course, the sovereignty of the unified figure, the human figure that stands for state power and that is state power. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's possible to model state sovereignty on the implicit or explicit figure of the king. But when you have when you talk about popular sovereignty, it seems very different. The people who exercise popular sovereignty are a unified subject. In my view, they are not a unified subject. Mm-hmm. There's no way they're unified. They're a discordant and cacophonous set of voices and demands that nevertheless can coalesce in the exercise of popular sovereignty. So one question is whether the idea of sovereignty, even in popular sovereignty, is so wedded to the idea of a unified master subject like the king that we can't use it. It's too contaminated by that history. But what if we think about distributed sovereignty? What if we think about shared sovereignty? What do we think about divisible sovereignty? It can simply be a way of naming that complex situation in which rights of political self-determination are exercised without there being a presumption of a unified subject who's exercising them.
Si l'histoire est le temps, comme elle le prétend, alors le soulèvement est un moment qui surgit de et en dehors du temps et viole la loi de l'histoire.
Hakim Bey.
If history is time, as it claims to be, then the uprising is a moment that springs up and out of time, violates the law of history.
Si l'État est l'histoire, comme il le prétend, alors l'insurrection est le moment interdit. La négation impardonnable de la dialectique, grimper au mât pour sortir par le trou du toit, une manœuvre de chaman qui s'exécute selon un angle impossible dans notre univers.
If the state is history, as it claims to be, then the insurrection is the forbidden moment, an unforgivable denial of the dialectic, shimmying up the pole and out of the smoke hole. a shaman's maneuver carried out at an impossible angle to the universe.
L'histoire dit que la révolution atteint la permanence, ou tout au moins une durée, alors que le soulèvement est temporaire. Dans ce sens, le soulèvement est comme une expérience maximale, en opposition avec le standard de la conscience ou de l'expérience ordinaire. Mais de tels moments donnent forme et sens à la totalité d'une vie.
History says the revolution attains permanence, or at least duration, while the uprising is temporary. In this sense, an uprising is like a peak experience, as opposed to the standard of ordinary consciousness and experience. But such moments of intensity give shape and meaning to the entirety of a life.
Vous allez dire que ce n'est que le conseil du désespoir. Qu'en est-il alors du rêve anarchiste, de l'État sans État, de la commune, de la zone autonome qui dure, d'une libre société, d'une libre culture? Allons-nous abandonner cet espoir pour un quelconque acte gratuit existentialiste? Le propos n'est pas de changer la conscience, mais de changer le monde.
You will argue that this is a council of despair. What of the anarchist dream? The stateless state, the commune, the autonomous zone with a duration, a free society, a free culture. Are we to abandon that hope in return for some existentialist acte gratuit? The point is not to change consciousness, but to change the world.
J'accepte cette juste critique. Je ferai cependant deux commentaires. Premièrement, la révolution n'a jamais abouti à la réalisation de ce rêve. La vision naît au moment du soulèvement. Mais dès que la révolution triomphe et que l'État revient, le rêve et l'idéal sont déjà trahis. Je n'ai pas abandonné l'espoir ou même l'attente d'un changement, mais je me méfie du mot révolution.
I accept this as a fair criticism. I would make two rejoinders, nevertheless. First, revolution has never yet resulted in achieving this dream. The vision comes to life in the moment of uprising. But as soon as the revolution triumphs and the state returns, the dream and the ideal are already betrayed. I've not given up hope or even expectation of change, but I distrust the word revolution.
Deuxièmement, même si l'on remplace l'approche révolutionnaire par un concept d'insurrection s'épanouissant spontanément en culture anarchiste, notre situation historique particulière n'est pas propice à une si vaste entreprise. Un choc frontal avec l'état terminal, l'état de l'information méga-entrepreneuriale, l'empire du spectacle et de la simulation ne produirait absolument rien, si ce n'est quelques martyrs futiles. Ces fusils sont tous pointés sur nous, et nos pauvres armes ne trouvent pour cible que l'hystérie, la vacuité rigide, un fantôme capable d'étouffer la moindre étincelle dans ses ectoplasmes, une société de capitulation réglée par l'image du flic et l'œil absorbant de l'écran de télé.
Second, even if we replace the revolutionary approach with the concept of insurrection blossoming spontaneously into anarchist culture, our own particular historical situation is not propitious for such vast undertaking. Absolutely nothing but a futile martyrdom could possibly result now from a head-on collision with the terminal state, the mega-corporate information state, the empire of spectacle and simulation. Its guns are all pointed at us, while our meager weaponry finds nothing to aim at but a hysteresis, a rigid vacuity, a spook capable of smothering every spark in an ectoplasm of information, a society of capitulation ruled by the image of the cop and the absorbent eye of the TV screen.
End of transmission.
This night would never end.
I Si on a appris quelque chose de la COVID-19, c'est qu'une petite chose peut se propager rapidement. Et si on est plusieurs à se faire vacciner, on peut créer une vague. Une vague de Canadiens qui font leur part pour retrouver les gens et les lieux qu'on aime. On peut tous aider en se faisant vacciner. Apprenez-en plus au canada.ca/vaccin-COVID. Un message du gouvernement du Canada.